'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
In my mind,
or
not hear what I say.
He can fun. Was 40 for me.
Wish you a Merry Christmas to me. To all of you. One of you.
Crazy.
Thank you.
clear in my throat. And relax your
mind. To all our family and friends, I want you to remember this last
from the Temptations.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Warner Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being with me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for all your positive feedback on the show. And once again, folks, it is cold outside. I just was looking at the weather here, and I'm finding that it's in Chicago, particularly in Chicago, it's 4 degrees, plain old four, and it feels like it's 20 below zero out there. So as I've been saying for a few nights now, if you don't have to be out there, do not go out there. But if you have to go out there, you have to be out there, bundle up, because the deep freeze has hit 48 states. People are freezing their asses off in 48 states, okay? And here in Chicago, we're cold as hell. And the thing about it, on top of this cold, more snow is coming. And all you hear on the weather reports is that it's just going to get worse. And there is no doubt about it, folks. This cold-ass weather, this winter blast, this Arctic shit is putting a damper on Christmas. It's taking away the Christmas spirit from at least some people, okay? Not everybody is letting this cold weather limit their Christmas activities or their Christmas celebrations, if I can say celebrations. And it's cold. I mean, it's fucking cold. Pardon my French, but that's the only way to say it. And I'm going to reiterate this. If you don't have to go outside, don't. And if you're out there, bundle up. There are still people out there, 20 below zero, windshield factors, with nothing on their heads, walking around with their coats wide open, thinking they're cute. And I've actually heard people say this. No matter how cold it gets, I've heard people say the reason why they don't put things on their head, they might, you know, they could mess up their hair. They don't want to mess up their hair, so they don't wear anything no matter how cold it gets, 20, 30, 40 below, because they're afraid they're going to mess up their hair. And I've also heard people say another reason why they don't dress for the frigid cold weather is that they don't want to hide their good looks. I've actually heard this kind of thing, and that is no lie. I've actually heard this stuff, this kind of weirdness, craziness. And I've always say then, hey, wow, why don't you cover up? Because if you think about it, how beautiful can you look when you're walking around and it's 20 below a wind chill factor of 20 below zero? How the hell, how good can you look? You're going to look like you're freezing your ass off. And you should be, because you once you get sick or get the flu, and people are getting the flu, then it's nobody's fault but your own. You don't want to get the flu and then take it to work or take it to school and give it to other people because you refuse to cover your ass up out here in this frigid and Arctic cold weather. That's just unfair to other people. But you know what? If you take it, that's how dumb some people can be. There's no doubt about it, folks. There are some dumb, stupid people in the world. And a lot of them thinking that the people who, that we're dumb because we don't see things the way they see things, you know. So, but for all those level-headed people and intelligent people and smart people out there, you know that when you get out there in this frigid, cold-ass weather to cover up, bundle up, or you, this is deadly weather, folks. You could die. So this is the George Wilder Jr. Show, trying to make the world a better place by telling you to bundle up and cover up and stay in if you don't have to go out there. Because these guys are saying it's just going to get worse. And at this particular point, I believe them. And you should too. You should too. Especially if you're out here walking or you got to get public transportation. A lot of people jump in their cars, turn on that heat. That's okay. But you're going to have to get out of that car sooner or later and freeze your asses off like the rest of us. You know? So even if you're in your car, bundle up. You know, bundle up. And a lot of cars are not starting. I mean, this weather is having all kinds of effects on your car, even if it's in the garage. So you really don't escape by that measure. You got a lot of people driving in their cars 20 below zero with nothing on their heads. They're in their car, and that's fine. You know, I mean, cars got plenty of heat, you know, and stuff like that. So, but you got to watch the slippery roads. It can be slippery out there. And you can slide into another driver or slide into a pedestrian. So whether you're driving or catching the trains or you got some people riding their bikes out there and this stuff. I don't understand that. But, you know, as long as they're bundled up, hey, wow, there's no complaints, right? But, you know, it is so cold. It's been cold for the last few weeks and it's continuing on to be cold, and they're saying it's going to get colder. And here is the kicker. It's still fall. It's not officially winter yet. Winter will not come until next week. And that's the kicker of it all. And we've been getting this fall winter blast, and it's totally unusual. 347-857-1762. My guest today on the George Wilder Jr. Show is author Diana Steven. Okay, she's going to talk about her work and what she does and why we should pay attention and listen. Okay. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Make sure you check me out on Amazon.com, www.amazon.com/author/G Wilder. Lots of stuff up there to read, folks, to take you away from reality, to take you away from this cold-ass weather that's unusually affecting 48 states within America, within this country. That is totally unreal. And at least for Chicago, I do know that they're saying that there is more snow coming. You know, so just hunker down and try to still let nothing, if I want to say, let nothing ruin your Christmas celebrations. Okay, this is still Christmas. This is still the holiday season. It's a cold one, but it is the holiday season nevertheless. So we want to make sure that we are celebrating in a good way. And one of the celebrations, one celebration I want to talk about is that we are out here helping other people. I mean, people are helping people. It's just a fantastic thing to see. People are helping other people, especially in this cold Arctic weather. People are going around finding homeless people on the street, sleeping in parks, on the street in tents, and trying to get them up off the street so they will not freeze to death. They're buying coats. People are dedicating their time and their money to buying toys and presents for children, whether they're in the hospital or whether they're living on the street, homeless, in shelters maybe. But people are opening their pocketbooks and they're helping people to enjoy a great Christmas and hopefully an even better happy new year. So do not let this cold weather dampen your Christmas spirit. You know, this shit cannot last forever. You know, it just cannot last forever. But it seems like it's lasting for a long time, you know, because this is the second or third week that we've had so far, that's especially in Chicago and around the country. It's just been cold. It's changing. It's awful, you know. So, and in a lot of places, school closing. There's been a lot of school closings, you know, and I think rightfully so. You don't want your kid going to school every day in the cold weather, and it's just awful. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm all over the place. I'm on Amazon. Follow me on Amazon too. Whenever things go wrong, that is the time to never quit. And you know, that's a good thing to say. Whenever things go wrong, that's the time to never quit. What do you think? All right. You know what? It's kind of the national news, local news, all of these media outlets, even on the internet and on some websites, they're leading off with the number one topic news story of the day. And that is the cold. That is the damn cold. I don't want to make this entire show about the cold, but you know, this is serious stuff. This is totally, totally serious stuff here, folks. And 48 states, I'm going to reiterate this again. 48 states are in the deep freeze in this country, freezing. And you do have some crazy people out there who will not dress for the cold. One guy, I mean, this guy was walking out here in this type of weather. He was in this type of weather in his t-shirt. I have seen people out here walking with shorts on, pretending that they're not cold, pretending that the deep freeze and the ice and the Arctic weather is not bothering you. These people are loony. These people are crazy. These people are looking for attention because they're stupid. Anybody with any brains know not to go out here wearing shorts or t-shirt and nothing on your head. These people got a screw loose somewhere, you know, but this is what happens. People are crazy. People get dumb like this because they want attention. They think they're cute and they think they look good. And this is why they don't do that. And they want attention. Ah, you're freezing to death. This weather doesn't bother me. Yeah, yeah. Stand out there for about 5 or 10 minutes. See how fast you run. You know, this is crazy, but it's the number one thing that they're talking about is the weather. And you know something, I really don't blame them. It is cold out there. And another thing that's awful is that a lot of people are being thrown out in this weather. Their shelters are closing. Shelters and the ones that are remaining open, they're crowded and they can't seem to accept any more people. They're turning people away. There's fires in buildings, apartment buildings and homes. And that's leaving a lot of people homeless out here in the cold. Social programs are being cut. Warming centers are not keeping their doors open too long and throwing the homeless back out into the cold. During this season, it's just awful the way people are being thrown out into this weather to freeze. There's a main shelter in, I talked about this, I think, 2 or 3 shows ago. The Uptown community in the city of Chicago, basically this community has been catering to the homeless for years. And now, you know, with the budget cuts, a lot of the shelters are closing. And there's one major shelter that's closing in Uptown in Chicago. It's closing 2 days before Christmas. 2 days before Christmas. I believe someone has set up a GoFundMe page to try to keep the shelter open. But, you know, do not expect, they're not expecting money from the state or the city because the city already told them, the state already told them that you can freeze your asses off. So they're going to try to keep the shelter open if they can. It depends on what, how much funds they can raise during their GoFundMe page. But if they can't get enough funds, the place is closing and they are out in the streets 2 days before Christmas. People are out in the streets. Even people are being thrown out as I'm sitting here on the air of their homes, their apartments, or wherever their dwellings. Even a homeless people who are living in tents downtown Chicago under Wacker Drive, they are being told to move and get up off the streets. I mean, there's just no caring for those who are in need, especially the homeless. It's like, if you ain't got it, then that's too bad. If you're out in the streets, that's too bad for you. If you don't have a job, that's too bad for you. If you don't have a job that's paying you enough money for you to actually find a decent place to live, that's too bad for you. If your kids are starving, that's too bad for you. If your kids are disabled, that's too damn bad. This is what the government is saying. This is what the politicians are saying, that they don't give two damns if you ain't got nothing. But however, they can go well beyond means to take care of people who are here in this city, in this country, illegally. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against refugees. I'm not against people who are here illegally. I'm just saying politicians, especially Democratic politicians, they are bending over backwards to raise all kinds of millions of dollars to keep Chicago a sanctuary city so that Republicans do not, Donald Trump, who has promised to deport a lot of these people to keep Chicago. They want to keep Chicago a sanctuary city and protect and cover illegal people who are here under false pretenses. They are protecting the illegals, raising all kinds of money and giving them food stamps, giving them all kinds of social programs that are still around, food stamps, driver's licenses, housing. They're raising money to do this for the illegals. When American-born people are being thrown out in the street, they can't seem to find money to save shelters. They can't seem to do that. But they can find money to keep Chicago a sanctuary city, shielding illegals from deportation. I just don't think that's fair. You're going for people who are not Americans. You're pitting people who are not Americans against those who are Americans, who are in more need than they are. So you can't find money to keep this shelter open, but you can find money to keep these illegals in Chicago. That is weird. And that doesn't, that is weird. I'm pretty sure somebody brought this up to the city council and to the mayor, but I'm pretty sure it fell on deaf ears. The same thing with Obama. He does the same thing. Hillary did the same thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against illegals. I'm just against politicians who put illegals, especially Democrats, who put illegals before their own people. The people who are born here, the people who work, the people who pay taxes. Illegals do not pay taxes. They will not be able to get a job because they don't have the papers to get a job. I'm pretty sure that there's going to be all these advocates for the illegals to try and get them papers to get to work. Which it doesn't bother me, but what bothers me is just like what I just got through saying. They can do all of this shit for illegals, but yet they can't keep people, these shelters open. They're raising money for that, but they're not raising money to keep these shelters open. And that's just pathetic. That's just total pathetic. And that's why I hope when 2018 and 2019 come, the election season in Chicago for mayor and governor and a lot of these damn aldermans, I hope they get their asses voted out on their dumps, out on their butts, you know, and throw them out of a job. See how they like it, you know. Throw them out in the street. See how they like it. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back. Let's see if we got a... let's see if we can do this
one. My son has been... arrested for walking while black.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk a little bit more about the weather because it's dangerously cold out there. When you are commuting in dangerously cold weather and snowy weather, it isn't easy. So when the temperatures drop and the snow starts to fall, what can you do to stay safe? One of the things I've been espousing on, dress properly. That's one of the damn things you can do to stay safe. But if you are commuting like on CTA, Chicago CTA, the trains, stay informed on services changes via numerous channels. Sign up for real-time email and text alerts, including at Transit Chicago alerts or wherever you are. Sign up for alerts, okay? CTA, Chicago Transit Authority, makes regular bus and train announcements. Listen to them. Follow CTA on Twitter and everywhere. Metra, you know, I mean, if you're traveling out there, it's going to be hell. It's cold. It's cold, folks. It's the deep freeze, as I just mentioned earlier, is going on in 48 states. People are freezing their asses off, and it's just not fair. And I'm just hoping that the cold itself is not dampening anyone's Christmas, although I've just got through talking about people are being evicted from their apartments. They're being thrown out in the streets. The shelters are shutting down or they're not accepting people. And things are closing up and shutting down in Chicago because we have no budget. There's no state budget. So a lot of the programs and things that people need are drying up because there's no budget. We have a stopgap budget. A stopgap budget is it's not worth a damn because it's only for 6 months. And that stopgap budget in the state of Illinois is ending at the end of the year. So we're going to be back to where we were 6 months ago with no budget. And the thing about it, this guy who is holding up this budget because he wants reforms, Governor Bruce Rauner, he's holding this up and he's blaming other people, but we know who the real culprit is. Bruce Rauner, who has done jack nothing for the city of Chicago or the state of Illinois. There's not one accomplishment, neither Democrats nor Republicans can say this guy has gotten for the state of Illinois. Not one accomplishment can we recite that he has done. Not one positive thing that he has done for the state of Illinois. Not one. A lot of the publications in the state of Illinois has called this guy a failure. I call him a failure too. And on top of all of this, he wants to run again. He at this moment in time, he is running negative ads against people who may possibly run against him in 2018. He's a millionaire. He's a billionaire. And he's running ads. He's nervous. But why would Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, want to run again for governor in the city and in the state of Illinois when he hasn't done a goddamn thing? Does he really think people are going to vote his ass back in the office when he's done nothing? If you can't count anything that he's done, it's been negative. The things he's done has hurt Illinois, or the things he hasn't done has hurt Illinois. He has done nothing. He doesn't like to talk to reporters. He doesn't like to answer questions. If it's not going his way, he gets his ass up and he walks out because he's pissed off. He's a mean, ornery, non-caring, heartless ass Republican who wants to run again. But for my money, he will not. I don't give a damn how much money this guy has. I really don't give a damn. I don't care because money will not get you into that office unless people do not vote. If people don't vote, you're in. And that's the thing that happened 3 years ago. The reason why Rauner is in office now, because people didn't vote. And also he used some of his money to buy gift cards and he bought some people off. What can I say? But And then since he's been in office, we have not had a budget. He is in office for 3 years, three damn years. And there is no complete budget for the state of Illinois. And I've said this before, the Illinois state constitution says one of the jobs of a governor is to have a fucking balanced budget. I've said this before. Republicans don't give a damn about the constitution, whether it's a federal constitution or a state constitution. They just use it for toilet paper and try to explain their way out of doing the dumb things and the ignorant things that they do to hurt people who are struggling, or in general, hurting working people. Okay. And this guy wants to run again. I just don't understand it. Would you hire somebody who's proven to be a failure and you're running a business? Would you hire somebody that's proven to be a failure, that's proven can't get anything done? Would you hire them again? No, you would not. And I know for a fact the people of Illinois, they're going to throw this guy out on his ass. He might as well not run again. His money is not going to save his ass this time, because people have woken up, especially working people, because what he wants to do, and I've said this 1,000 times, he wants to break the damn unions. He wants them nullified in the state of Illinois. He wants to break this state down. He wants to destroy this state, the state of Illinois, and then blame it on the Democrats. Blame them for not accepting his reforms. Blame them for not negotiating. They want to negotiate. They want to talk with him, but they're not going to adopt his reforms because they feel that his reforms is not a part of the budget package, which I do agree. Pass a budget, and then the Democratic leaders in the state of in the legislature in Illinois, they will talk about his turnaround agenda, but he don't want that. Brown wants to tear this damn state apart, then rebuild it in his image. But while he's tearing it down, while he's destroying the state of Illinois, he's blaming other people for it. He's blaming other people. And I do think, and I do believe that the people of the state of Illinois, they're not buying it. They are not buying it. Bruce Rauner, if you're listening, we're going to vote you out in 2018. You've done nothing for the city. You've done nothing for the state. You've done nothing for the people, for those few people who may have voted you into office. And the only reason why you're in office is because African-Americans did not vote. Latinos did not vote. There was a low voter count. Whenever there's people who do not vote, Republicans take office. And this is one of the reasons why they use voter suppression. Voter suppression. I know you've heard this. Whereas the Republicans try to do all kind of unlawful things to stop people from voting. Why do you think that? Why do you think the Republicans are always trying to stop you from voting? Voter suppression. They're stopping you from voting because they know if you vote, their asses will not be elected. That's why they use voter suppression tactics and all this bullshit that they try to fool the public with. Some people buy that crap, but a lot of people do not. A lot of people do not. So this guy will not be reelected. There is no way. There's about four or five Democrats running against him, and they have so much on him. I mean, once the ads start running, the campaign gets going and the ads start flooding the airwaves, TV, radio, and all this stuff, internet, newspapers, magazines. Once the campaign start going, the Democrats and the independents who are going to be running against Rauner, they're going to have so much ammunition to knock this guy out of the race. It won't be funny. The number one thing that they're going to use against Rauner, and it's going to work, tie him down, to win against him is that the fact that Illinois doesn't have a budget. We do not have a budget, a full budget, not a half-ass budget. We need a full budget. And this guy's refusing to do that. He doesn't want to do that. And he's blaming the Democrats to why he will not do it. And we know that's not true. So he's wasting his time if he thinks he's going to win in 2018. I know the people of Illinois are going to vote his ass out to the curb, put his ass out in the cold, just like he's thrown so many other people out in the cold by taking funding away from needed shelters where homeless people have to go to keep warm. Yeah, I'm pissed off. I think it's just wrong. What can I say? And this guy think he's going to get in office. He's got another thing coming. You know, I don't know if a lot of you people out there know or saw him or is following him. I mean, he's got support. I mean, he's got the support of the racists, the haters, the rich. Okay. All right. But I've said this 1,000 times. We are the 99 percenters and they are the 1 percenters. If the 99% vote, the 1%, which are the Republicans, would never get in office. If you think about it, the Republicans control Congress. The Republicans control the White House. That is only because two reasons, I think. People were fed up with Obama, and they didn't vote, period. They stopped believing after they found out that Obama, you know, but you know, you've got some people out there that's going to say, oh, George, please. If you want to believe that Obama is one of the greatest presidents that's ever lived, then you believe that. People like me do not. Do not. If you're going to think that Obama has done something great for African Americans, you go right ahead and you believe it. I don't. And I have proof. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see, we will be back. Let's see, what can we do here? Can we do this?
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio.
President Obama has failed black people.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Blog Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. We have elected an idiot. For all the insanity and the stunning self-absorption and the bullying and the delusional view of America that would embarrass a high school dropout watching cartoons while strung out on meth, the much more existential threat from the Swiss cheese personality of Donald John Trump roared to the forefront over this weekend past. And that existential threat is simply this. In the complex international relations that, like it or not, keep the world from blowing itself up every afternoon, Trump has just proved he has no earthly clue what the fuck he is doing. Just since last Friday, Donald Trump has given aid and comfort to our Russian enemies who are aiming for nothing short of world prominence with the help of their jackass Trump. He has undermined this nation's status as the only enforcer left on the side of human rights. And he has screwed up, whether inadvertently or as reported Sunday night deliberately, nearly 4 decades of diplomacy, balanced on a razor's edge with China and Taiwan. And just as that China and Taiwan diplomacy began to stabilize, he went and screwed it up again on Twitter. Good work, moron. You don't have to live next door to the United Nations to understand why talking to the President of Taiwan and making it public and referring to the close economic, political, and security ties between Taiwan and the United States just increase the chances that Trump will get some of us, including his supporters, killed. Since 1979, we have played a silly little childish game with mainland China. If we don't make a big deal about that island of Taiwan, if we don't call it a nation, if we recognize that psychologically Taiwan is to the Chinese what communist Cuba has been to us since 1959, if our diplomats and presidents and dipshits elect like Donald Trump don't rub China's nose in it, the Chinese will not wipe the more or less democracy of Taiwan off the freaking map. It's that simple. The 1,350,000,000 mainland Chinese communists will not turn the 23.5 million Chinese on Taiwan into a parking lot. All we have to do is not do exactly what Donald Nitwit Trump did by saying what he did to the Taiwanese president last Friday. But of course, he did it because he thinks he knows better than everybody else about the world when he doesn't know shit. And anyway, what's the fate of 23.5 million Chinese on Taiwan compared to what really matters? The president of Taiwan called me today to wish me congratulations on winning the presidency. Thank you. Interesting how the U.S. sells Taiwan billions of dollars of military equipment, but I should not accept a congratulatory call. Because clearly the point of an incoming presidential administration is to see how many leaders around the world call in to tell him how terrific he is. We now see, 6 weeks out from the inauguration, the outlines of the Trump doctrine. Congratulate Trump! Sunday, a crowded elevator's worth of trumpets pushed a story in the Washington Post that this was all planned. It was a more robust defense of Taiwan, which is, of course, even dumber, especially if the idiot-elect has to publicly disguise his planned robustness as naivete, because, of course, he then gets mad when people call him naive, and so thus he doubles down on the whole thing Sunday night on Twitter. So now not only are the Chinese pissed off, not only is their help in whatever looms next for us in North Korea in jeopardy, and not only is an actual slow growth in the reliability of the relationship between our two countries at risk, but who benefits from uncertainty between the U.S. and China? We don't win from it. The Chinese don't win from it. In whose interest is the new confusion, the new setback, the new ass-hattery from Trump? Russia. Always Russia. Russia. And by the way, guess what flooded out of a WikiLeaks dump Saturday that you probably didn't hear about? 90 gigabytes, 2,420 documents of intelligence related to Germany and the German president Angela Merkel. Ahead of Germany's upcoming elections. Germany, which since Trump's election by a minority of our voters, has already taken our place as the leading democracy in the world and the only Western power able or willing to stand up against the passive-aggressive world war that Russia has been waging for several years, now with the aid and comfort of President-elect Donald bumbling amateur Putin puppet fucking Trump. And yes, I said Trump's election has already resulted in Germany taking our place as the leading democracy, the leading enforcer on the side of human rights in the world. And if these fiascos with China and Taiwan and WikiLeaks in Germany are not evidence enough, there was a third Trump diplomatic disaster that might actually have eclipsed the other two. Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte, the street thug who has had thousands of his citizens murdered by police and vigilantes without trial, or in many cases without even arrest, on the pretext of an anti-drug campaign. Duterte says he too got on the phone with Trump on Friday, and that Trump endorsed the barbarism Duterte has unleashed. I could sense a good rapport, an animated president-elect Trump, and he was wishing me success in my campaign against the drug problem, Duterte said. He understood the way we are handling it. We are many things in this country, but we have never and must never stoop to murder disguised as law and order by a dictator who has compared his own actions to those of Adolf Hitler as if he were complimenting himself. Worst yet, Duterte said this buffoon Trump has invited him to visit New York and Washington, and bluntly, Rodrigo Duterte should not be admitted to this country even in a casket. But don't tell Trump that. He knows everything. If this is how this dense, pea-brained little man is going to run things, if this is how far in over his own fat orange head he's going to be internationally, if this is how he is going to strut as president, a triple-chinned bull in a nuclear China shop, he cannot be allowed to become president. Because after January 20th, if he decides to have a week of prioritizing receiving congratulations for his inaugural and tweeting out his petulance about Chinese taxes, if he can't manage to keep his fucking ego out of these opaque but essential balancing acts, the ones which stitch together the world as it is, he could get us all killed before his next appointment with whoever or whatever colors his goddamned hair.
I always love Keith Olbermann. He tells it just like it is. And he's one of my favorites. That's Keith Olbermann. If you haven't heard of him, research him, Google him, and, you know, and listen to his rhetoric or whatever you want to call it, his take on Trump. This is one guy that does not like Donald Trump. He cannot stand Donald Trump. As you've heard, right? He cannot stand Donald Trump, and I just love Keith Olbermann, and another guy I love. I think he's Bill Maher. These guys are straightforward. They both have a following, and they are straightforward. I mean, they are straightforward. I mean, they are no nonsense talk show host. You know, no nonsense. They tell it straight like it is. You know, Keith Olbermann. We're going to be having him on the show periodically. All right. Republicans aim to limit North Carolina's governor's elect power. Okay. There's a governor in North Carolina. I think his name is Roy Cooper. Lawmakers want to scale back the team Roy Cooper can bring into the office. So if this was this is what Republicans do. If Democrats are voted into office, they find a way to obstruct, to stop, to limit their powers. This is what they do. If this was a Republican elected governor in North Carolina, you think they would be doing this? Hell no. You know, but let a Democrat get in. And I want to say once again, I am not a Democrat, and I don't want anybody even calling me that, you know. I'm not a Republican. Please don't label me that. I look at both sides and I criticize them where I see fit. Republicans aim to limit New York governor elect power. That's what they do. Look what they've done to Obama for 8 years. But Obama is the president of the United States. Obama could have done a lot of things without the Republicans, but he refused. He was a compromising in chief. He wanted to compromise and talk and vote on everything. Obama could have done a lot of things for this country. He still can do it. A lot of things for this country. Using his executive authority. And just by being present, coming to neighborhoods throughout the United States, talking to the brothers who are killing each other on the south and west sides of the city, standing up for people who are being thrown out in the streets, in the ghetto, standing up for the little man. Obama has always been corporate. He's always been, he's always been corporate. He's always been there with the rich. I mean, every time he goes to play golf, he doesn't play at my golf club. He doesn't play at your golf club. He goes and plays with the rich. He goes and plays at Martha's Vineyard. You know, that looks bad for people who voted for him, who are now being thrown out of their residence into the cold. But he doesn't give a damn. Obama's out of there, so what? But anyway, let's get back to this North Carolina governor-elect. Roy Cooper said Thursday, this is what he's saying, trying to rebut what the Republicans are trying to do is limit his power. He says he's ready to fight in court against the Republican legislation moving through a surprised General Assembly session that would undercut his power as he takes office next month. I don't blame him. Sue the hell out of him. You know, obviously in North Carolina, which I not know too much about, the Republicans are the one that's in the legislature in North Carolina. They control the whole thing, the Senate and the House. And he's the only Democratic, and he's the Democratic Republican. And they're trying to limit his power. I know for a fact that the Republicans in Congress, they limited Obama's power. A few years ago, they limited his power. A lot of people don't talk about that, but they voted to limit his power. That a lot of things he couldn't do because they limited his power. But that didn't stop Obama. That didn't stop him from wanting to travel or should travel to some of these African-American neighborhoods. One of the things I admire about Trump, he's now doing a thank you tour, thanking the people who voted for him. He's thanking them, literally. Obama never did that. He never did that. Maybe he never thought of doing it. But you can say all the things you want about Trump. You can love him, hate him. I didn't vote for him. So, but I do like the fact that he's going around thanking people who put him in office. And that's great. That's wonderful. I think that's a beautiful thing, even though he said he's going to get rid of Obamacare. And I think he's going to do that because that's one of the reasons why they voted for him and put him in office, because he said he was going to get rid of and tear up Obamacare. He said he was going to put Clinton in jail. He said he was going to deport all of these illegal immigrants. And I just got through stating a lot of these cities are now finding money to try to keep up their sanctuary cities, which is crazy. But anyway. Okay. Thursday Night Football is on, folks. And I'm not sure who's playing right now. My mind is not there, but my mind is wanting to say, if you're out here in this cold weather, make sure you are dressed for it. Let's hear Keith Olbermann one more time.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. We have elected an idiot. For all the insanity and the stunning self-absorption and the bullying and the delusional view of America that would embarrass a high school dropout watching cartoons while strung out on meth, the much more existential threat from the Swiss cheese personality of Donald John Trump roared to the forefront over this weekend past. And that existential threat is simply this. In the complex international relations that, like it or not, keep the world from blowing itself up every afternoon, Trump has just proved he has no earthly clue what the fuck he is doing. Just since last Friday, Donald Trump has given aid and comfort to our Russian enemies who are aiming for nothing short of world prominence with the help of their jackass Trump. He has undermined this nation's status as the only enforcer left on the side of human rights. And he has screwed up, whether inadvertently or as reported Sunday night deliberately, nearly four decades of diplomacy, balanced on a razor's edge with China and Taiwan. And just as that China and Taiwan diplomacy began to stabilize, he went and screwed it up again on Twitter. Good work, moron. You don't have to live next door to the United Nations to understand why talking to the president of Taiwan and making it public and referring to the close economic, political, and security ties between Taiwan and the United States just increase the chances that Trump will get some of us, including his supporters, killed. Since 1979, we have played a silly little childish game with mainland China. If we don't make a big deal about that island of Taiwan, if we don't call it a nation, if we recognize that psychologically Taiwan is to the Chinese what communist Cuba has been to us since 1959, if our diplomats and presidents and dipshits elect like Donald Trump don't rub China's nose in it, the Chinese will not wipe the more or less democracy of Taiwan off the freaking map. It's that simple. The 1,350,000,000 mainland Chinese communists will not turn the 23.5 million Chinese on Taiwan into a parking lot. All we have to do is not do exactly what Donald Nitwit Trump did by saying what he did to the Taiwanese president last Friday. But of course, he did it because he thinks he knows better than everybody else about the world when he doesn't know shit. And anyway, what's the fate of 23.5 million Chinese on Taiwan compared to what really matters? The president of Taiwan called me today to wish me congratulations on winning the presidency. Thank you. Interesting how the U.S. sells Taiwan billions of dollars of military equipment, but I should not accept a congratulatory call. Because clearly the point of an incoming presidential administration is to see how many leaders around the world call in to tell him how terrific he is. We now see, 6 weeks out from the inauguration, the outlines of the Trump doctrine. Congratulate Trump! Sunday, a crowded elevator's worth of trumpets pushed a story in the Washington Post that this was all planned. It was a more robust defense of Taiwan, which is, of course, even dumber, especially if the idiot-elect has to publicly disguise his planned robustness as naivete, because, of course, he then gets mad when people call him naive, and so thus he doubles down on the whole thing Sunday night on Twitter. So now not only are the Chinese pissed off, not only is their help in whatever looms next for us in North Korea in jeopardy, and not only is an actual slow growth in the reliability of the relationship between our two countries at risk, but who benefits from uncertainty between the U.S. and China? We don't win from it. The Chinese don't win from it. In whose interest is the new confusion, the new setback, the new ass-hattery from Trump? Russia. Always Russia. Russia. And by the way, guess what flooded out of a WikiLeaks dump Saturday that you probably didn't hear about? 90 gigabytes, 2,420 documents of intelligence related to Germany and the German President Angela Merkel, ahead of Germany's upcoming elections. Germany, which since Trump's election by a minority of our voters has already taken our place as the leading democracy in the world and the only Western power able or willing to stand up against the passive-aggressive world war that Russia has been waging for several years, now with the aid and comfort of President-elect Donald bumbling amateur Putin puppet fucking Trump. And yes, I said Trump's election has already resulted in Germany taking our place as the leading democracy, the leading enforcer on the side of human rights in the world. And if these fiascos with China and Taiwan and WikiLeaks in Germany are not evidence enough, there was a third Trump diplomatic disaster that might actually have eclipsed the other two. Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte, the street thug who has had thousands of his citizens murdered by police and vigilantes without trial, or in many cases without even arrest, on the pretext of an anti-drug campaign. Duterte says he too got on the phone with Trump on Friday, and that Trump endorsed the barbarism Duterte has unleashed. I could sense a good rapport, an animated president-elect Trump, and he was wishing me success in my campaign against the drug problem, Duterte said. He understood the way we are handling it. We are many things in this country, but we have never and must never stoop to murder disguised as law and order by a dictator who has compared his own actions to those of Adolf Hitler as if he were complimenting himself. Worst yet, Duterte said this buffoon Trump has invited him to visit New York and Washington, and bluntly, Rodrigo Duterte should not be admitted to this country even in a casket. But don't tell Trump that. He knows everything. If this is how this dense, pea-brained little man is going to run things, if this is how far in over his own fat orange head he's going to be internationally, if this is how he is going to strut as president, a triple-chinned bull in a nuclear China shop, he cannot be allowed to become president. Because after January 20th, if he decides to have a week of prioritizing receiving congratulations for his inaugural and tweeting out his petulance about Chinese taxes, if he can't manage to keep his fucking ego out of these opaque but essential balancing acts, the ones which stitch together the world as it is, he could get us all killed before his next appointment with whoever or whatever colors his goddamned hair. Resist. Peace.
All right, Keith Olbermann, one more time, folks, on the George Waldo Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here. We were talking about the weather, and that's one of the main topics of around. I mean, that's it. That's it. Okay, let's talk about the – I think there's a store that's closing. Okay, in Maywood. Maywood is a African-American suburb in the city of Chicago. I think it's filled with the majority of the people who live there, the residents, are poor. And this is Maywood. And here's some more sad news to tell you. They have one store. The only grocery store is closing permanently this month. Okay? This kind of news is coming out all the time. It's not dripping out. It's falling out. It's running out. This kind of thing. Okay, now, you got the only grocery store in Maywood closing. They won't have a store in this small community. They will not have a store. You know, where are they going to go eat? Where are they going to get healthy food? They got a lot of restaurants, greasy spoons, they used to call them. This is what's happening. But the governor and the mayor, they can find money to keep illegals in the city of Chicago, but they can't find money to keep a store in a suburban community of people who were born in the United States. This is just appalling. And all of these dire conclusions are happening during the holiday season and hurting people. Politicians are elected to help people. They promise this, they promise that, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. This is not happening for people. This is not happening. And they're picking up their paycheck. Obviously, let me take that back. Because a lot of the people in the legislature, a lot of lawmakers in the legislature, they haven't been paid for 6 months. And a lot of them are totally bitching. And you can see the poverty on their faces. They have not been paid in the legislature. Why? Because they can't seem to get a budget. The controller says, comptroller said, if they can't get a budget for the state of Illinois, a full budget, then they're not doing their jobs and they should not be paid. And I agree. But the bottom line is, it's Bruce Rauner. Bruce Rauner, he's the culprit for these legislators not being paid. They're not being paid because they will not do things the way he wants them done. You know, they will not adopt his turnaround agenda, which includes busting all unions, term limits, and other things. So he's going to try to sweat them out, not pay them, to try to get them to give in to his turnaround agenda. And a lot of them say they're not going to do that. They say they know what the governor is up to. They know what he's all about. They said they will not be squeezed. They will not be held hostage. Their checks will not be held hostage because he wants them to do the things he wants them to do things that goes against their values, their democratic values. So a lot of these guys, and I talked about this about three days ago. They're not getting paid. They are not getting paid. Bruce Rauner is a billionaire. He doesn't need a paycheck. Michael Madigan is a millionaire. He doesn't need a paycheck. John Culleton, the head of the House in the state of Illinois, the House of Representatives, he doesn't need a paycheck. But the people who are sitting out there before him, they need a paycheck. Even though it's just a part-time job, they still need a paycheck because a lot of those lawmakers in the Illinois legislature, they do not have any other kind of income. So they are hurting, but they're standing pat. They're standing their ground because they're not going to give in to Bruce Rauner and his radical agenda, which I do applaud them for that. I really do. You know, so their Christmases are, if I can say it, oh my God, I got a stutter. Their Christmases are also being upended. Their Christmases are also in jeopardy because they don't have money. They're not getting their paychecks. And this is the legislature in Chicago, in Illinois. You know, and Bruce Rauner don't give a damn. He just don't give two fucks. You're not adopting my reforms? To hell with you. I don't care if you get paid or not. You know, so this is what's going on in Chicago. A lot of people, a lot of folks, Christmases are being just torn apart. Torn the hell apart. And I'm going to say this again. I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe. And I'm thinking that they will not be getting paid next year anyway. Also, they will not be getting paid in 2017 because there will still be no budget. There will still be no budget. This guy will be going on 4 years in office. He will be, it will be leading up to 4 years in office with no state budget. Have you ever heard of that? 4 years without a state budget for a state. And this asshole wants to run again, like he's doing something great by holding out on a budget for 3 and 4 years for the state of Illinois when the Constitution said there must be a budget. If there is no budget, he's not doing his damn job. He should be impeached. But the Democrats in the legislature of Illinois, they don't have the balls to do that. They don't even have the balls to bring it up. They just, you know, they're just, you know, this guy is knocking them over the head and they just say, oh, don't hit me again. But they're not going to give in to his radical agenda. And that's great. That's great. And a lot of Christmases are going to, you know, people are going to be unhappy. No money, no paycheck, no place to live. The stores are leaving from the community, budget cuts all over the place. So this is going to be a rotten Christmas for a lot of people. And the powers at be, they just don't give a damn. They don't care. They don't give a damn. They don't care. But it's going to take private funds to help out. And just forget about getting money from the state of Illinois or anywhere else. It's going to take a lot of private people intervening into the lives of those who have nothing and who cannot count on the state for anything anymore. As long as we have this asshole governor in Illinois trying to blame the Democrats for everything when it's his ass that's making this state one of the worst states in America. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's see if we can do this and come right back. Obama's accomplishments. Let's
help you God, so help me God. Congratulations, Mr. President.
Barack Obama has had a busy first 7 years as president. So in this video, I'm just going to lay out all the things his administration's been able to accomplish. President Obama kept his biggest campaign promise and ended the Iraq War. And he kept the homeland extremely safe, unlike his predecessor who allowed a massive terrorist attack against both our largest city and our capital. President Obama also prohibited the use of torture, which had been rampant under Bush. He created the New START Treaty with Russia to reduce each country's nuclear weapons arsenal. A year after his inspiring A New Beginning speech in Cairo, young people armed only with smartphones and laptops took to the streets in the Arab Spring uprising in Egypt that quickly spread throughout the region. Obama supported the revolutions by ushering Mubarak out of power and protecting the Libyan people from the genocidal madman Muammar Gaddafi. A similar call for change in Syria turned into a devastating civil war, with Bashar al-Assad committing war crimes against his own people, including using chemical weapons on civilian population centers. But instead of involving the American people in another ground war or bombing the Syrians, Obama used these credible threats of force and tireless diplomatic efforts of John Kerry to convince the Russian-backed Assad to give up his chemical weapons stockpile completely. President Obama authorized numerous covert U.S. special operations missions to rescue American hostages, including the infamous nighttime operation at sea to save Captain Phillips from Somali pirates. When it became clear the American public was uncomfortable with the reach of the NSA, Obama reformed it to more clearly conform to the Constitution. Obama has gradually reduced the number of U.S. troops in Afghanistan to around 10,000, officially ending the American-led war in 2014 in favor of an Afghan-led, NATO-supported coalition. He drastically reduced the number of civilian casualties caused by U.S. airstrikes in the Middle East by using a smarter, more accountable targeting and authorization protocol. He also ordered a shift to mostly unmanned aircraft, a strategy that both saved money and removed American airmen from the dangers of the battlefield. In 2011, President Obama ordered SEAL Team 6 to carry out the daring mission that killed Osama bin Laden in Abbottabad, Pakistan. Working through UN Ambassador Susan Rice, the president helped negotiate the peaceful, diplomatic splitting of civil war-torn Sudan into two independent countries. He committed the United States to the UN's Sustainable Development Goals. Through his pivot to Asia, the president reaffirmed America's commitment to ensuring the region stays peaceful and healthy economically. This pivot included more cooperation with emerging powerhouse China on a whole range of issues, while candidly addressing differences on human rights, cybersecurity, and the South China Sea. Key to this pivot is the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a 12-country agreement representing nearly 40% of global economic output, to increase American trade with the fastest-growing region in the world, and also to blunt China's desire for a less fair playing field among its neighbors. Obama ended the 50-year embargo of Cuba, normalizing relations with the island nation, reopening the U.S. Embassy in Havana, and visiting the country with his entire family. After Vladimir Putin annexed Crimea from Ukraine, the U.S. used sanctions to punish Russia for violating international law, weakening Russia's economy. Then, after reinforcing Ukraine with arms and financial aid, Obama bolstered NATO's collective defenses and gave a powerful speech in Warsaw's Castle Square on America's unwavering commitment to the security of its NATO allies in Eastern Europe. When Ebola was overwhelming health workers in Africa and threatening to become a pandemic, Obama rapidly deployed American assets to West Africa, including thousands of American military personnel, coordinating a global effort that quickly won the struggle against the outbreak. The president developed a strategy to lead a 65-member coalition to degrade and destroy ISIL, the terrorist group that had gained strength from the chaos of 12 years of war in Iraq and Syria. After years of painstaking work to bring Iran to the negotiating table, the Obama administration, led by Secretary of State John Kerry, reached a deal to stop the Iranians from acquiring a nuclear weapon. This prevented a nuclear arms race in the Middle East and kept America's strongest ally in the region safe. After taking office at the depths of the Great Recession, Obama pushed the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act through Congress, which created over 2 million jobs and jump-started an economic recovery that has now produced a record 65 consecutive months of overall job growth, with unemployment steadily falling below 5%. A firm believer in teamwork, he put Vice President Joe Biden in charge of managing the stimulus, which was praised for its extraordinary lack of waste. With millions facing foreclosure and homelessness at the height of the crisis, Obama and the Democratic Congress took measures to help many stay in their homes. And because states were cutting their budgets back, hundreds of thousands of teachers and first responders were about to be fired, but the Recovery Act and other measures stopped this from happening. With General Motors on the verge of collapse, the president made the risky decision to save it, and probably the nation's auto industry as well. That meant 1 million people kept their jobs, and last year, GM finished repaying its loan, returning to its rightful place among the world's leading car companies. Working closely with other world leaders, particularly the European Union, Obama prevented their economies from collapsing too during the economic downturn. He also led the successful effort to get the world's wealthiest countries to create a $100 billion World Bank fund to support developing countries' access to credit during the crisis. After the Bush bank bailout, the Obama administration forced Wall Street to pay all the money it borrowed back, with an additional $30 billion in interest, and then he put in place the strongest Wall Street regulation since the Great Depression, which gave the government a whole host of tools to prevent another Wall Street-caused economic crisis. The Obama Justice Department's investigation of financial crimes resulted in big banks paying more than
enough of those lies. Facebook is finally taking action against fake news. Fake news, F-A-K-E, fake news. And I totally agree with that. I think fake news has been all over the internet, and a lot of people are saying fake news is probably what cost Clinton the election. I agree with that. Fake news might have cost her the election, but Zuckerman is saying that it did not cost her the election. Of course he's going to say that. He's the owner of Facebook, right? He's the CEO of Facebook, right? He's going to say that. But the majority of the people, like myself, do believe that fake news has caused Clinton to lose the election. There's no doubt about it. That's clear. Who cares what Zuckerman thinks? You know, he's going to deny it anyway. You know, he's a liar. He's probably a Republican. So, but they're taking aim at fake news. A lot of that stuff before the election, I was seeing a lot of that stuff, and I knew it was fake. I knew it was fake. And a lot of people were sharing fake news and believing it and commenting on it. People were just, you know, believing in something that was not true, and it affected the election. Do not let anybody tell you that it did not. Fake news is one of the culprits in her loss for election. I think there's two or three. I think the other one is that people were fed up with Obama. They didn't want to see a third term of Obama. The next reason, I think, is people did not vote like they should have. There was no enthusiasm in the African-American community. So those are three reasons. So it did have an effect. And we got Trump. But now people are saying that Trump may not be president when it comes December 19th, because the Electoral College is going to vote again. And some of them might turn against Trump. And a lot of them are Republicans. So we're going to have to see what happens there. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762, WTTTY. It is still cold out there, folks. It is cold as hell out there. If you don't have to be out there, do not go out there. If you're out there, get inside, because they're saying that the weather will get a lot worse before it gets better. And the kicker here is it's not even winter yet. At least at the broadcast and the time of this show, this podcast, it's not winter. At some point when you listen to it in the future, you know, you're going to know that this show was recorded in the past live. But it is not winter yet. And we have had at least two or three weeks in a row of frigid Arctic weather. And this is dampening some of the Christmas celebrations, New Year's celebration. It's so damn cold. I mean, this is the coldest that I've seen in a long time, especially this early. Because I was saying a few months ago that we were going to have a mild winter. Boy, was I wrong. I was wrong big time. See, folks, when I'm wrong, I admit it. I totally admit it. Okay.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses. The bombs begin to fall. Heaven never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl. Heaven. Heaven help us all. Heaven help us all. Help us all. Heaven help us, Lord, here I am when we fall. Oh, yeah. Heaven help the boy.
I lay me down before I go to sleep. In a troubled world, I pray the Lord to keep hatred from the mighty and the mighty from the small.
All right, folks, we're in a deep freeze. 48 states are freezing and in this country. Stay warm out there. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. Stay warm. If you don't have to be out there, don't go. Stay in. If you're out there, make sure you bundle up and cover up and get out of that crap. Frostbite, the flu, all of these things are serious, very serious. So keep yourself warm and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all of you out there. All right. We are off the air. Someone said 90 seconds in my ear. Okay. We will not be back until Monday. Monday. 4 days a week. Starting at 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Sometimes 8. But we will be back on Monday. And may all of you have great holidays. That's all I can say. And have fun. Have a good time. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you.